Matthew chapter 28. In just a few minutes, Jake's going to come share his testimony. Before he does, I've got to share some things with you the Lord has put on my heart. So turn to Matthew chapter 28. I want to read to you verses 16 through verse 20. Matthew 28, verse 16 through verse 20. The Bible says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power," somebody say all. "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Somebody say all. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Jesus came, speaking to them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." How many of you know that our world is in a mess? I'm just going to sit down with you for a minute. How many of you know that this world, it is in a mess? Am I the only one that has been troubled this last week? Anybody else been deeply bothered this last few weeks? I mean, I have been inner turmoil and trying to wrap my mind around everything. Am I the only one that's trying to understand? I'm trying to be open, trying to just make sure I have no preconceived notions, and I'm trying to view this world and view its people and view everything that's going on. And I have been trying to wrap my heart around this, and I've been trying to wrap my mind around this, and I have thought, and I have thought, and I have thought about everything that is going on. And at some point in the course of this, somewhere around middle of the week, I sit down, and I should have did it way sooner. I wasted a lot of time thinking when I should have just did this sooner. I said, "God, I just really don't even know about some of this. I don't even know, God. It's one thing for me to think about it. I know my flesh thinks one thing at times, and my spirit thinks one thing. It addresses it another way, and all this stuff going on. And I'm sitting here trying to process it all, and I asked the Lord this right here. In my position, I've got to come here to the church. And God, I would like to tell the church what the church should be doing right now. What we should be doing in the midst of this. But it is hard to do when I really don't even know, God. I'm just being transparent with you just for a few minutes, okay? So I'm sitting here pleading with God. God, I don't even know what to tell them because I don't know what to think exactly myself. What are we to be doing specifically during all this stuff that is going on? And I know some of you are visitors, and what you don't know is that I usually hardly ever come in here and teach in regard to whatever's going on culturally at the time. I rarely ever do that, but today God has got me to this place, and I've been asking him, God, what do I tell your people to do in the midst of this? What do I tell them to do in the midst of everything that is going on? And I expected that I would have to wrestle with God for days, maybe. I expected that I would have to dig in the Word. But I want to tell you what God did. Immediately, I heard three words in my spirit. And you believe me or you not believe me, whatever. But I heard three words clear as day in my spirit. And it was this right here. The Great Commission. The Great Commission. And then after that, it wasn't but a day later, I get a text, and again, you can think whatever, but this person invited me to go somewhere where they had somebody that was coming in from Texas who had a prophetic voice, and his message was this, that the church needs to be focusing on the Great Commission. That happened just a few hours later. And so I go to the scripture and I begin to read through the Great Commission. And I want to tell you in advance, the Lord, He began to show me things regarding the Great Commission, me and you, you and I, and what we need to be doing. So for the next several weeks, probably, we will peel through layers of the Great Commission. And I want to share with you some things that God is telling me and imparting into me to say to you. But I also want to tell you this, that today we're going to start from the foundation of the Great Commission. It's going to be the launching pad, and I want to say this even, that I may say some things that you don't like, and I may say some things that makes you mad, but I reckon we live in a mad world anyway, don't we? And I got so nervous, I've been telling people I'm nervous because I don't like to be the guy that stands up and says things that's ever offensive. That's not my personality. Anybody that knows me knows I don't take pleasure in that right there. But God has given me a truthful, hard word to give to you just for these next few minutes, okay? I'm thinking about this, and I sit down with the Lord, and I look at the Great Commission. And I can't exhaust it all this morning, but let me just hit some climatical points of the Great Commission. Jesus says, go. He says, make disciples. He says, go to all nations, make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teach them to be obedient to my word. And he says other things amongst that. But the gist of it is he says, go, tell all nations, teach all nations, make disciples, and baptize them in my name. Amen? Do y'all agree with me on that? The commission, it's not really deep, and it's pretty basic, and it's pretty simple. And Jesus pretty much just says what he says. And I know there's some people in church that kind of argues, is the Great Commission, is that for the church right now? Well, I don't see how you could think it ain't. Because he says, you go do it, and I will be with you till the world ends. Which is a clear implication that we are to be operating in the Great Commission from now until the end of the world. Somebody say amen. There's not a stopping point for the Great Commission. You don't stop here or take a break there. There's not a dispensation in which the Great Commission comes to the end other than when the world ends. Amen. What are we to be doing as the church during this time? God says the Great Commission. I thought about the context of the Great Commission, and I'm not going to try to stretch the context to make it mean something that it ain't. But let me just say this. There was great tension between two people groups during this time. There was tension between Rome, and there was tension between the Jews. 139 B.C., the Jews were segregated and wasn't even allowed to be in Rome. A.D. 70, Rome is responsible for destroying the temple and Jerusalem. Do you see the tension between Rome and the Jews? Let me say this too. If you want to talk about injustice, the greatest display of injustice is happening right there. They released a man named Barabbas who led a mob. He was a murderer and a robber. And they let him go free to brutally torture our innocent and blameless Lord Jesus Christ. That's injustice. And I want to say this. I'm not getting political with you today, but I'm going to have to make a few references today. The context during this time is there's great tension between two groups of people, and neither group have put Jesus first.
I'm going to say that again. Great tension between two groups of people, and neither one of them has put Jesus at the forefront of what they say and what they do. We live in a day of tension between peoples and cries of injustice, this and that. I'm saying this. I keep hearing three words in my spirit during this time: the Great Commission. The Great Commission. He says go, and if you look at the Greek go, it is present participle, and it means this: not just go do it, but as you are going, you make disciples. He said all people, every creed, every color, every person, every different ethnicity, he says everybody you come in contact, as you go, you make disciples. For the rest of your days, everywhere you go, anywhere you go, anybody you see, whoever they are, you share the gospel and you make disciples. Now that's pretty cut and dry, isn't it? That is pretty black and white. That is the Great Commission. And during this time, with everything that's going on, our mandate remains the same, and it will always remain the same: the Great Commission. Let me say this. When he says make disciples, what does he mean by make disciples? I think we got to answer this question, right? What does he mean when he says go and everywhere you go with every people make disciples? What does he mean by make disciples? What is a disciple? I think if you look at Jewish culture, it is something like this. You see this in the text. It is somebody who is a student that commits themselves or attaches themselves to a rabbi or a teacher. They identify with them. They learn them and learn of them, and they even live their days with them. John the Baptist, he had his disciples. Jesus had his disciples. And many rabbis in the Jewish culture had their disciples. And their disciples would attach themselves to them, spend as much time with them as they can, learn who they are, learn from them, and identify with them. Do you know what a disciple of Jesus is? You have attached yourself to him by grace through faith, and you are learning him through knowing him, and you are learning of him, and you live with him, and you walk with him. You are a student of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be a disciple, and that's what we are to produce. Let me give you a different perspective, okay? What are the disciples thinking on this mountain when Jesus says, go make disciples? What were they thinking? Because that's what we need to answer. What is Jesus and what is his disciples thinking in this moment when he says, go make disciples? Let me remind you. Miss Brandy, would you put up scripture? Luke 14. If any man come to me, hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What's the next verse? Is it 33 that I give you? So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, if you really want to get to the core of what the disciples are thinking on the mountain and what Jesus is thinking on the mountain, I'm pretty sure that they never forgot that statement. And I'm pretty sure that on the mountain that day, when they saw their resurrected Lord who had just died on Calvary, they remembered these words of what it means to be a disciple. And it don't mean that you hate your family. And it don't mean that you hate yourself, but what it does mean that you commit yourself to Him in such a way that you put Him first, in such a way that He is so preeminent in your life that everything else begins to fade away, and you are willing to forsake everything in this life, including yourself, just to be with Jesus. That is a disciple. Are you with me? And He says, you got to come with me. And this is really what He's saying. This is what Jesus says, extreme language, because He's trying to tell them this right here. He says, to be My disciple, you got to come with me. You got to follow me. But you got to understand that in your life, there's going to be some things that you've attached yourself to that if you don't forsake them, you'll never follow me. Oh, my goodness. Am I the only one that ever had a hard time following Jesus because I had things in my life I wouldn't forsake? Am I the only one that's been attached to things in this life, and not even bad things sometimes, but so attached to things that I really wasn't committed and sold out and following Jesus the way that I was supposed to? Am I the only one? This is why He says extreme language. He says there's going to be things you've got to forsake and you've got to detach from to come with me, to follow me. And He says, you got to take your cross. You may not know what it means now, but you got to bear your cross. It may not mean nothing to you now, guys, but one day you're going to realize what I'm saying when I tell you to take up your cross. And one day they saw Jesus on a cross, and they saw Him stripped and tortured and beaten, and Him dying His death on the cross. And they understood in that moment that I've got to be willing to die for my Father and die even for others. That is my cross. We say we're willing to die for it, but we won't even live for it half the time. You know how you can't, you don't get the right to say you'll die for something you won't live for. You don't. You say, well, someone put a gun to my head and said, if you profess Christ, I would die for Him today, but the last 17 years, some of us ain't even lived for Him. You don't get the right to do that. He didn't say, would you? He said, you got to come with me. You got to forsake your life. Give me your life. Put my life above your life. That is a discipleship. I realize there's such a famine in the land of preaching today of true gospel. I realize that. But it still needs to be said, and it still needs to be heard. This is the heart of the gospel, and this is the Great Commission. This is what it means to be a disciple, and this is what we're supposed to make. Let me go on. I've not even got to the hard part yet. Why the Great Commission? Why the Great Commission? Why that mandate? Why now? Why forever? Why until the world is over? Why the Great Commission? David, it's because 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world has blinded the minds to those who don't believe. Why, Brother Rains? Because Romans 5:18 says, because sin brought forth condemnation to all. Because John 3:18, Sister Darlene, says this, those who don't believe are condemned already. Ephesians 2:2-3, because men are dead in their sins. They are the children of wrath, the prince of the power of the air. That is the spirit that is working in the children of disobedience. Why? Why, Sister Betty? Why the Great Commission? Why? Because Matthew 7:13, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many's going to go through it. Isaiah 5:14, hell has enlarged herself and her mouth is open wide. The Great Commission, this is why. This is why we can't lay the Great Commission down and get involved in something that is inferior to that right there. That is why the Great Commission. So God, what do I tell them Sunday? What do I tell them? Because God, I don't even know myself. What do I tell them? What do I tell them to do during all this stuff that's going on? What are they to tell their children to do during all this? And I just can't quit hearing the Great Commission. Can I go deeper? I ask you to carefully listen to what I'm about to say and try not to take me out of context here. Don't try to think and imply where I stand on anything other than on the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Would you just be courteous enough to do that for me when I say what I say? Do you know what we need more than social reformation? And that is a spirit of regeneration. What the world needs more than a social reformation is a mind-altering transformation. We, the power of men, want to reform a culture and a society, whichever side you stand on. And that will never matter as much as the spirits of men being regenerated and minds transformed. Matter of fact, I would say to you, the only way to do it, if reformation is an outward change, we've got to go to the fountain from which everything flows, and that is the souls of men. We've got to go there. That's what the world needs. Regeneration and transformation. What people need to hear from the church. Are you ready for this? God help me here, please. From our mouth, what should roll off our tongues and our lips should be this. They need to hear the language of a Redeemer more than the language of a Republican. And they need to hear the language of the Deliverer more than they need to hear the language of a Democrat. And they need to hear the agenda of the Lamb of God and the Lord of Lords more than the agenda of a liberal. And they need to hear the agenda of Christ, our coming King, more than a conservative. I'm going to say it. We need more Jesus than we need more Donald Trump. We need more Holy Ghost revivals than we need more Black Lives Matter rallies and riots. I say this because the church is peculiar. The church is peculiar. And she will always speak a different language. The church speaks a different language than the language of culture. If there is no difference than the language of culture, then there is the language and the voice of the church, then we are not speaking what thus saith the Lord. Kingdom assignments will always be different than political agendas. We are a peculiar people. So why are you saying what you're saying? I know I've made somebody mad. I know I have. And I don't want to use all-inclusive language, but let me say this in general. I see so many people on Facebook that speak such political language, and I never see them reference the gospel. Obama didn't die for your sins, and neither did Trump, and neither did the next guy, and neither did the next.
God, help me. God, help me. So I see people we know, good people that love the Lord. I'm not saying all of them, but you and me both know there's a bunch of them. Oh, never, ain't never throwing down the gospel. They spit politics, but they don't pour out their soul in the gospel. They come in this building. These buildings with pointy steeples every Sunday. And they spit politics, but never pour themselves out to the gospel. This is how I know that we need to be focused on the Great Commission. Because somewhere it has been neglected. Some of our kids can quote Trump and Pelosi better than they can quote the scripture. And I digress. Say, you've forbidden me to think and be involved and speak politics? If that's what you got out of this, then you are way off. I never said you could not make political references. Never did I. I'm saying this. If you declare politics more than you declare the gospel, then you are disobedient to the Great Commission, to God regarding the Great Commission. I will say that. You can take that home with you. You did get that today. You did get that. And if you're more loyal to your political party than you are to the kingdom of God, then you're disobedient to the mandate. You did get that today. Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found it, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he has and buyeth that field. Your loyalty should be to the kingdom of God, to the point that with great joy you would sell all you have, do anything you can to attain it. The world needs kingdom men and kingdom women. And I get it. I live in this land, but I'm just a pilgrim passing through. And I don't know where you come from. I grew up in this little Pentecostal church in which those who sat before me, they didn't call this home, they called heaven home. And I seen it Sunday in and Sunday out, and they wept and they sang and they danced and they worshiped because they longed for home, and they never felt quite right in this place. They were kingdom men and kingdom women, and they spoke a kingdom language. And if they stepped into the political realm, you better bet their mouth would open with kingdom language. And they spoke as a bride of Christ that was both pure and beautiful and filled with great power when they stepped into political arenas. And what they did was insert the gospel, obeying the mandate of the Great Commission. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? Father, take my frailty and my insufficiency and the foolishness of this preaching, the foolishness of preaching the gospel. And Holy Ghost, articulate your truth clearly and powerfully to the hearts of your people.
And God, may we wave the banner of Christ high. And may our loyalty be to you more than anyone or anything. And may the voice of God always be louder in our hearts than the voice of culture. And God, we're going to need help carrying out the Great Commission. We're going to need great wisdom. We're going to need you to lead us. We're going to need you to guide us. But God, I pray that you would move in us today. And as we go, we would make disciples. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, let me say this. It's hard for you to reproduce something that you are not. I can't sit down and teach you how to be a brain surgeon. I ain't never been one. Anybody that knows Stetton knows I ain't near smart enough. I can teach you what I know, and I can only give you what I have. And I'm afraid some of us ain't making disciples because we ain't one. I'm not saying all of us. I'm saying this. We need to examine ourselves before the Lord and get real and get honest with Him. And we don't need to tell God who we are and what we are. We need to sit down in His presence with His Word and let Him tell us who we are and what we are. And do a mighty work in us, because this world needs it. This world needs it. There's far too much darkness. And it needs light. And what we know is that darkness leaves, the brighter the light shines. The more light, the less darkness. God, we collectively pray this morning. Work in us. Forgive us. Correct us. Reprove us. God, rebuke us in the areas that we need it. Fill us, God, with the Holy Spirit. Bathe us in grace. Strengthen our faith. God, speak the right words from our mouth. Words that are living words, transforming words. God forbid anybody that gathers here or anywhere else would allow our children to know more about our political stance than about our Jesus. Help us, God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.